Let's head to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Ben Valin. He covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. What's up, Ben? Good morning.
Chunky, how are we doing today?
We're doing well. I'll tell you what else is doing well. Your tweet about Jaden Daniels it's got 2,500 likes already. Your tweet from yesterday, from watching him at the practice between the Pats and the Commanders, Jaden Daniels is absolutely surgical in 11-on-11, never misses a read. We love to hear that heading into year two for Jaden Daniels. Now, it's worrisome that Terry McLaurin is holding in and hasn't agreed to a new deal yet, but we saw what Jaden Daniels did last year. We're expecting him to build on that rookie campaign, and you saw it in person yesterday.
Yeah, it was funny. I sent that tweet and put my phone back in my pocket, and you check it like 20 minutes later, and it's like, whoa, Commander's Twitter just blew it up. It just shows how much excitement there is for this team right now. You guys know this, such a franchise that was so dormant for so long is now the sixth best Super Bowl odds, you know, entering the season. And Jaden Daniels is an MVP candidate. And, the Commanders are loaded with superstars, Deebo Samuel, like Von Miller. It's been a long time coming for this franchise to be where they're at right now. And, I know obviously there are some issues still with Terry McLaurin, and the offense misses him. I mean, you could tell the passing game is not going to reach that next gear unless they have their number one receiver in the lineup. But yeah, Daniels in the earlier portions of practice, his performance in 11-on-11s was just a lot of fun to watch. It was pretty sublime. I mean, he looks like a veteran in the pocket. Now, I know it's practice. I know he's wearing the yellow jersey and no one can lay a finger on him, but Jaden Daniels proved last year that he's so much more than just a scrambling quarterback. He's to me, a sophisticated pocket passer, and he was on point yesterday. And it reminds me, like, not to get too far ahead of myself, but like when the Patriots were in their heyday and their offense was cruising with Tom Brady, you'd go practices where the ball is just not touching the ground and Tom Brady knows exactly where to go with the football. And Jaden Daniels, to me, looked like he has that kind of command of Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
It's great to hear. So Ben, you talked about the Commanders fan base being dormant, and we've lived through that for basically 30 years until Jaden Daniels showed up. I was kind of surprised by the crowd that came out for the scrimmage yesterday, and you documented it at Ben Valin on Twitter. I mean, the stands were packed. There were people like 10 deep on the ramps at Gillette trying to get a glimpse of the scrimmage. And look, I'm not going to cry any tears for the Pats who have won a million Super Bowls, but there have been some lean years here in the last few. So that's good for Patriots fans. It looks like that fan base has been reinvigorated.
No question. And yesterday's attendance was not just Commanders fans packing the house. There was, certainly a good healthy number of Commanders fans in attendance, but this was about Patriots fans wanting to see their team. And of course, Jaden Daniels is a huge draw. So, the Commanders, I think, played a big part of it. But yeah, it was the olden days yesterday. It's like the ramps, it's like five or six of them vertically, and they were all packed yesterday. The hill next to the practice field, the stands that run from goal line to goal line, not a seat, went unused in the house. And they were actually like shutting off access to different parts of the viewing areas just because they were completely crowded, and it was a big media frenzy yesterday, and it was a lot. It was frankly almost too much to keep track of,
really,
with all the hubbub going on. But the Patriots have some excitement again. It's not going to be the Brady Belichick days and Gronk and Julian Edelman and all this, but Drake May is exciting. Mike Vrabel brings a lot of credibility to fans. Remember him from the heyday. Stephon Diggs is a real big name player. There's excitement with the rookie class, like Travion Henderson, the second round running back out of Ohio State. So yeah, not only are the Commanders back, the Patriots aren't nearly as back as the Commanders are, but it looks like they're at least headed that way.
Yeah, what was your biggest takeaway other than Jaden from the joint practice?
I liked how actually both defenses kind of came up strong in the red zone. In the final period there, the Commanders defense shut down Drake May in the red zone, and Mikey Sainristil at the one interception of the day on a picked pass. And then the Patriots defense stepped up too, and kept Jaden Daniels out of the end zone. There's like a 4th-and-7 play at the end that the Patriots stopped. And the biggest takeaway is not to, go back on the last answer, but that's kind of what it is, that these franchises are back. You know, this it was a big day of football. For the Patriots, it was that they hung tough. I mean, I thought their credibility took a big boost yesterday. When you can hang with a really good veteran team like the Commanders, I think that's good for the Patriots' confidence. And the Commanders, I think they're just rolling into the season with all kinds of confidence. They believe in Jaden Daniels, and that as long as he's under center, they believe that, the sky's the limit and there's nowhere that they can't go. So, the Terry McLaurin thing is still kind of looming. I personally am not, I don't think the Commanders are, the fans should be concerned. It feels like they're going to, both sides want this thing to happen and they're going to get it done at some point. If it lingers into the end of August, maybe, but for the Commanders and Terry McLaurin, I think they'll figure it out. And this is a team that is just brimming with confidence. And, I think have a leader in Dan Quinn who knows how to manage the expectations and get the most out of that team.
Where are you guys with the development of Drake May at this point?
It's not like starting over completely, because he did, I think, get a lot of important reps in year one. That said, it's a completely new offense now with Josh McDaniels, and it's a system that no one really has ever run before. There's like four or five players on the offense who were here back in 2021 when McDaniels was the coordinator, so they remember that offense. But otherwise, Drake May, this is completely foreign to him. Center Garrett Bradbury, who makes a lot of the line calls, he's never played in this scheme. The Patriots' offensive coaches have never been in this scheme before. It's kind of like a ragtag coaching staff that came from different backgrounds, and no one has been in McDaniel's offense before. Even Mike Vrabel has been spending a lot of time on the offensive side of the ball in practice, and people are asking him what's behind that, and he says, I'm trying to learn the offense too. So to me, there's going to be a slow start to the season just because it's all new and everyone's they're building this thing together. And usually you can rely on the coaching staff for tips and pointers and how to get through it, but they're learning the same as well. So to me, Drake May, really positive rookie season, showed some terrific traits. I think had, the second or third best, probably the third best rookie season behind Daniels and Bo Nix, but showed that he can play in the league. And now they've got to teach him how to be a winning quarterback, how to cut down on some of the turnovers, how to win some games. And they gave him a lot better help this year with teammates and the coaching staff. So I think the arrow is probably pointing up for Drake May, but with all the change on offense, it's probably going to be a little slow at first.
Ben, can you explain how McDaniels is so coveted as an OC, but he's just a disaster as a head coach? Like, how can he not make that next step up?
So I would push back on two things there. I think he's only coveted as an offensive coordinator here in New England.
Okay.
This was, he's part of the family here. The Crafts love him over the years. Remember, he was supposed to go be the Colts coach, and it was the Crafts who pulled him off the plane, not Bill Belichick. It was the Crafts who wanted him to stay. And, when this opportunity after the Gerard Mayo experiment last year ended, I think the Crafts very clearly targeted Josh McDaniels, because it's not like he was Mike Vrabel's, hand-picked offensive coordinator. I think Vrabel was told, Josh is going to be your offensive coordinator, and Vrabel says, fine. And so I think McDaniels is really only coveted here because he's been so successful here, and the fan base and the ownership knows him. And also, I know he was definitely a disaster in Denver, no question. And I think he gets a little bit of a raw deal in Las Vegas. You keep hearing how bad things were, but unlike in Denver, there's never any specifics. And you never hear about the ways that Josh McDaniels was such a bad coach. And honestly, I think a big part of it was the Raiders never wanted him to begin with. Mark Davis made a terrible decision to hire Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, two guys from the Patriots organization, for the Raiders. The Raiders fans and the Raiders players wanted nothing to do with the whole Patriots thing. And a new coach comes in, and he's going to get rid of a lot of his guys and try to build the program his way. And, of course, the players were resistant to it. And then after, a year and change, Mark Davis is like, oh, I'm gonna decide to listen to the players now and pull the plug. So I put that more on Mark Davis for why it didn't go well in Vegas. McDaniels, to me, never had a chance in that one. And, he got paid, He got paid handsomely with that gig, so I don't think anyone should feel sorry for McDaniels, but I don't think it was nearly as bad as his first Denver experience was.
Hey, a lot of people are talking about Jackson Dart with the Giants and maybe how quickly he'll step in, depending on how good or bad Russell Wilson is. But what are you hearing on that and him and his performance in camp? And do you expect him to be the starter, you know, I don't know, a month and a half into the season, depending on the performance of the team?
Yes. I mean, almost any rookie first-round quarterback is going to be the starter in his first season. That's just how it goes in the NFL. Russell Wilson's going to do the best he can to stave him off and to keep his job. But Russell Wilson is not the future. Jackson Dart is. And Brian Daboll, you know, I know he's going to be on the hot seat. And if this season starts poorly, maybe he's not the one making the decision. But, you know, Jackson Dart, Russell Wilson is really just keeping the seat warm for until Jackson Dart is ready. You know, I was thinking if Jackson Dart has a great preseason and just momentum builds for him to get the starting job, that Russell Wilson could even maybe be expendable because he's not the kind of guy you really want as your backup quarterback. He's never really had that temperament.
Right.
Same thing with like Cam Newton. Like if Cam Newton's not your starter, you probably caught him like the Patriots did because
you got a problem.
Right. So Jackson, so like to me, the Giants, I don't know if they're going to be keeping all three of those quarterbacks. If Russell Wilson clearly wins the job, then I think James Winston becomes expendable. But if Jackson Dart is that good, then I think Russell Wilson becomes expendable as well. I'd be very surprised if Dart is not starting, you know, by November.
We're joined by Ben Vallin, covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. You can check out his work at Ben Vallin on Twitter. Can Jerry Jones bungle the Micah Parsons situation any worse than he already has? I mean, it's like 101, you know, entry-level class on how not to handle a negotiation with one of your biggest stars.
Well, again, you're assuming that Jerry doesn't like the attention and that this isn't all part of some, like, master scheme. I mean, they always do this. They draw out these negotiations during training camp. They create all this drama. And then what do you know? Right before the season starts, they get a deal done, and there's all this positive momentum heading into week one. You know, Micah Parsons, I think, is right to be upset. And the way that Jerry Jones is trying to get around talking to his agent and deal directly with Micah Parsons, like, Jerry needs to knock that off. It violates the CBA. I don't know how Jerry gets away with it. You're not supposed to, you know, exclude the agent from the proceeding. That said, Micah Parsons can huff and puff a lot about ending the relationship, but the Cowboys control his contractual rights this year, and then they can put two more franchise tags on him the next 2 years. So he might not even be an unrestricted free agent until 2027, 2028. So, like, that's the reality of the situation. The CBA works very much in the Cowboys' favor. Now, you know, Jerry Jones is creating some bad feelings in the locker room and some resentment, and it's probably not the best way to build a cohesive team during training camp. But I think they're going to get a deal done with Micah Parsons. It'll probably happen right before the regular season starts. And you know, that's the reality is Micah Parsons doesn't have a whole lot of options other than like holding out, but then he costs himself a lot of money because the CBA does not work in his favor.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the same old story we've been hearing. Yep.
We're hearing it every single day, but we're just kind of waiting for it to happen.
Hey, what do you expect to see out of Shedeur Sanders when he makes his preseason debut? Because every quarterback in camp outside of Shedeur Sanders is banged up for the Browns.
Yeah, I think they have like 12 quarterbacks on their roster now.
Seems like
11 of them can't play. I mean, right. It's crazy. I'm going to watch on Saturday if I have the ability to here in Boston because, I mean, he's the guy, you know, of this year's draft class, not only with the big personality, but the fact that he fell to the fifth round. I think people want to see how this kid looks and how he can play. It is amazing that he's the guy everyone wants to see, not necessarily the number one overall pick, Cam Ward, who I think very quietly is having an impressive camp in Nashville and is really making his bosses happy there. But yeah, Shedeur Sanders, who knows where he falls on the depth chart right now. It might be fourth or, you know, maybe he's the backup behind Joe Flacco. I still expect Flacco to be the week one starter there, but that is disaster written all over it in Cleveland. I mean, four quarterbacks, none of whom are really solid. I mean, every week there's going to be a debate who needs to play and let's put Shedeur in there or let's put Dylan Gabriel. And like Kevin Stefanski and the Browns have just signed up for another year of dysfunction there.
What do you make of the Bengals' plan to play more of their starters in the preseason to avoid the slow starts that Zach Taylor's had over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's long overdue. When you keep having these poor starts of the season, and last year you missed the playoffs by one game because you lost to the Patriots in week one and you weren't prepared, then yeah, it's time to change what you're doing. And, you know, the quarterback series on Netflix was fascinating because it really showed this dynamic between Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, where I think Joe Burrow has a lot more juice in the organization right now than the coach. And it seems like everyone treads carefully to make sure that their quarterback's happy. And Joe Burrow like made it clear that he was not happy the last few years about not playing snaps in the preseason. And he is definitely getting his way this year. And they need it. They need to get him and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and the offensive line on the same page for week one. They play in a brutal AFC North division. They've got a very difficult schedule this year. Joe Burrow and the Bengals have the talent to be Super Bowl competitors, but they got to stop futzing around in September. And so I think it's you know, even if it takes playing 30 snaps in the preseason games, I just think they need a mentality switch where instead of taking all of August off and having like a club med preseason, they got to put in the work and get ready to go for September.
I'm going to pick that up, futzing around. I'm going to use that. That's a good radio-friendly term. I like it.
Ben, thanks for the time as always. Have fun watching Sam Hartman and Josh Johnson battle it out for the number three quarterback spot tomorrow for the Commanders.
It's preseason football, baby.
There we go.
Hey, we'll take it.
We're a step closer to the real thing. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, that's Ben Vallin, covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. At Ben Vallin is where you find him on your Twitter. When we come back, is Las Vegas dead?
Mm.
We'll tell you next.